Hashem, Hashem. On behalf of the monthly night side of this Kaddish, and all the volunteers that are the fabric of its existence, I welcome you and thank you for coming out tonight. Particularly in today's weather, we truly appreciate everyone's mesiras and chizuk that it gives us by all of you joining. Tonight is the fourth annual Halav Malka of the monthly night side of this Kaddish. 5 years ago, the night seder was founded by a group of balabatim, volunteers, historim, people that had one intention, to be ma'arvat shemayim and ma'arvat on the Torah. In Kedai Nahara, the siyata d'shmaya that the organization has had over the past 5 years, and its continued sustenance and growth, is testimony to the purity of the intentions of the individuals that have been holding it up. For those of you that may not be as familiar, the night seder is medrash. The night seder is medrash is a place where anyone can come and find the chavrusa, find the seder, a place to learn. There are many different chavrusas learning different things. There's a kelel, there are yoga lights that are paid to learn, to be part of the kelel, to be there to learn with balabatim. There are magidei shir that say various shirim. There's the famous shir of Rabbi Schwartz. There, he says Gemara Shurim two nights a week of Balabatim, and his very enjoyable Thursday night Chumash Shir, which late night Chumash Shir, which people appreciate as well, and his Matzai Shabbos Navi Shir. In addition to the various groups and Siddurim that take place in the Beis Medrash, one of the most valuable things that constitute the night side of Beis Medrash is the fact that everybody's welcome. The door is open to all. There's a certain sense of come join us, come be part of it, and come learn. Rav Heshi Horowitz, for the past few years, has served as the coordinator of the night seder. I don't think he's here tonight with us yet, but we thank him for all of his work and the series that he gave the past few years. And in the same breath, we welcome Nissen Rothenberg, who has taken over his position, and Bez Hashem Shavet HaTzmach and Siyat HaTzmaya and Yimar HaTzmaya. We'd like to thank the Beis Medrash Shaarei Tefila for hosting the Beis Night Seder program all these years. We'd like to thank Tzvair De'Asra, Rabbi Wilner Shlita, and we'd also like to make mention of those that help sustain the Night Seder, whether it's those that give an annual donation or those that give more consistently, and again, for the most part, are people hiding behind the scenes. I'd like to introduce a Barry Marburger, who close to 3 years ago had joined us in founding our Sunday morning Chesh Mishpat Chaburim. This week's parasha, Parshas Mishpatim, the pasuk says, Ve'elam Mishpatim Ashetasim Lefneihem. And Rashi says, Ashetasim Lefneihem, that Moshe had to give it over to Klai Yisrael Kesholchan Aruch. One shouldn't think that two or three turns of repeating something is sufficient, like Vayidav Hashem or Moshe Lema, typically things were said twice, says the Sifsei Chachamim. It has to be more than that. And Moshe Feinstein says a very interesting thing. And he says the fact that a person can have learned something a few times and knows a lot of Torah does not necessarily make him a Talmud Chacham. He says from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that Doeg, even though he knew a lot of Torah, his Torah was only Misafa Belachutz, and not making a Talmud Chacham. And he says, and I'll quote him, Alot Sarech Leida Oysa Al Yidei Roif Omul V'Yegia Shatir Shatei Doimek Ilu Omraza Yidei Havanose V'Tamei Adobe Kerovi. In order for a person to learn Torah properly, to be considered a Talmud Chacham, and particularly over here, when Eilah HaMashpatim are being given over, says Rav Moshe, what the Torah wants, Keshulchan Aruch Lefanecha, is that a person should be humble in Yagei and have it with such a klarkai that Habanasai would be the Tamei Adavah Kerokai. One thing all of us that have benefited and been zeicha to hear from Aaron Marburger's Torah over the past few years can say that there's such a behiris and a klarkai in the sugyas that he gives over to all the people that are zeicha to hear him. We feel truly privileged to have a Talmud Chacham of his Ramah, fearing the Chabur and Abis Medrash, and it's a schuss for us to hear some Divrei Bracha from him tonight. Goodbye.
Last week's parasha describes Kabbalah Satorah. And Terry described the Yarkol Olam, it's a kolos. It describes the tremendous madrego of nevuah that each and every yid in Klal Yisrael was living to, and this real shlima that there was at Har Sinai. This week, Ve'ela Mishpat Mashadas Mechayim, the Torah describes the Kiga Yisharis Yisharayeu. If you have an ox, a kur is another ox. So if it's a first time offender, if it's a tam, he gets Tati Nezer. If it's a Bumur and Sharnakum, it's Mel Shulshem, it's a repeat offender, it's an iterated Nezer Shalim, we're a bit more Nachmer. The Torah continues and describes how Lotha is the person who digs into the ditch. A donkey falls into the ditch, and what halacha is? A discussion of who's responsible for what. The contrast and the juxtaposition between these two halachas needs an explanation. Parshas Yisro is discussing Kabbalah Satira. It's discussing the Madrego of Nevuah, where every year was led at the Panim al-Panim, Kamat the Madrego of Moshe Rabbeinu, and a level in Ruchnius, where Klal Yisrael had, as a nation, has yet to match. And immediately afterwards, the Torah jumps and discusses what appeared to be the most mundane and petty halachos, and a deal between a fight between neighbors and friends. And the question is why? During the discussion has been focused on Yom Kedusha, Tara, and Prishus, things that would seem more in sync with the level and the plateau of Ruchnius the Klal Yisrael was on. But the message is that no. The same way we know that the Dor HaDeah was a tremendous nisim, there were the Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Lamon, Melchemes Amalek, and the Ramban famously explains the reason for these nisim was not for that generation. That generation was taken out of Mitzrayim, they had a Bunah, they had Bitachon. But the reason was that Kadosh Baruch Hu knew Klal Yisrael would go through a long and bitter galus, would go through long periods of Hester upon him, where the Yad Hashem wasn't apparent to all. And therefore, the Ramban famously writes, the idea and the purpose of the Nisim Nivuah are that when a person realizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, when he witnesses Nisim open miracles, from then he should learn to recognize the Yad Hashem, even when Nisim Nistaris, even the quiet and subtler middle miracles that surround us each day. This is true by Nisim, it's certainly true by Ruchnius as well. The Tachlis and the reason why Klal Yisrael had such a level of Nevuah by Kabbalah Satira was not just for the top point of Kabbalah Satira. It's there because you have to take that Ruchnius, you have to take that Kedusha, and apply it not just at Har Sinai, but to apply it to every corner of Klal Yisrael, to every corner of your private life. And therefore, B'dafka, the first halachas that are discussed, are the halachas of Ve'ela HaMishpat Mashadas Mefeyem. The halachas that deal with petty disputes between friends, between neighbors, between family. Because the message is, you have to take the Madrego of Kabbalah Satira, and you have to apply it to each and every aspect of your lives. I think this thought encapsulates what the Muncie Night Seder is all about. It's a program that was devised and was created on the ideal that Limud HaTorah is not something which is limited to the Kosko Yeshiva. That Zman Shaiving is not just the times that you spend in Yeshiva, but Adirama, each and every one of us, whatever walk of life you find yourself, there's a Mokum and Kabbalah Satira was specifically for you. And therefore, whichever a person's in a marketplace, wherever he finds himself, there's always a Mokum to take a Seder, a Mokum to set aside time to learn, a Habrusa, a Shir, and a Mokum for everyone to shine in. Now, under strict instructions, not to mention any names, but I do want to express a deep personal Hakara Satira to the people who organized the Muncie Night Seder and gave me the opportunity to participate in some of these programs. And the bracha is that the organizers, the participants, the supporters should all be zaycha to have an aliyah to shay through the Torah and the hazakas Torah, and their learning and all other aspects of their life should be zaycha to bracha, kedusha, and hazakha. It's like the end of the words of the Piyachar. We know that when an Eved Yirtzah, he refuses to leave, so he's taken to the mezuzah, to the doorpost, and we pierce his ear. Rashi explains the reason why his ear is pierced is because Oizen Sheshemaz by Har Sinai, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, can even Yisrael Avodim, that he is supposed to be an Eved LaHashem and not an Eved LaAvodim, so it gets pierced. The Kliyakar goes through the symbolism of each point of this parasha. And he says, okay, we understand now why the ear gets pierced. But why the mezuzah? Why the door? And he explains that there are many avodim. People find themselves in different situations in life. The halacha is, if a person is desperate, he needs to support his family. There are times where he's allowed to sell himself as a slave. The person is a gadol, he was caught, he gets sold as a slave. And good, that's a fact of life. Zogdik Kliyakar, this Eved already served his term. He already finished his avodis. He's free to leave. And yet, he got comfortable. Being an Eved, he's always responsible to care for his family. He said, the happiest Adoini, best Ishi, best Gonai, and he refuses to leave. So for him, we take him to the door to show him. The door is open. You finish your avodas. All you have to do is walk out. And if he still refuses, he's so comfortable, but he's very sure the laziness, he says, I want to stay. Then, then he becomes an Eben Derza. The Monty Night Seder Abayisai is that open door. It's a place, doors are open, it's a place for young, for old, and whether a person has a background in yeshiva, less of a background, whether he has a few hours a night to learn, or just a few moments a week, there's something for everyone. I urge everyone to take advantage of the many programs that they offer, and to kaparai, to use the opportunity, and not to pass it by. At this point, so I'm coming to introduce the next speaker. My Siegel is someone who for many decades has been welcoming Yidden through the door, the Chaykin and Kroivim alike. I want to thank him for taking the time and traveling here in this weather, and this is Jesus from Siegel.
Thank you very much. Shus, one in organizing this old friends. I must tell you that when I was asked to speak, I figured I'd better find out where I'm going. I made a few calls and asked to warn these people. And I must tell you, I mean it from the depths of my heart, that the words that were spoken about what goes on in this field were something very, very special to me. And it's a great covet for me to be here and just to be part of it. The emphasis is, I don't think there's much that I can say that will inspire you in any way. But I did come up from Staten Island, so I guess I should say something, right? Doesn't mean you have to listen, it just means I have to say something. The Torah tells us, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar. Chai Yisrael stood there at the mountain. Yishachar v'leidecha. One of the great moments in the history of the Jewish people. We stood as one facing the mountain. Yeshiva Zatzal of Al Pachaditza Rabutu said there was another great thing that happened at that moment. It wasn't just that Chai Yisrael was standing together facing the mountain. What was unbelievable was that our backs were facing society. one of the great tragedies of the Jewish people throughout history is our love of the societies we live in. And for that moment, we turned our back to society. And when our backs are turned to society, we're facing Kedusha. And that's what was so beautiful about that moment. But as the days have gone by since then, what happened to us? Those of us that stood with our backs to society, with our faces facing Kedusha. So let's talk a little bit about Noach and the Mavet. What happened? What was Noach's job for the year in the table? Noach's job was simple. He had to serve the animals, take care of all the meals, take care of the garbage. And all of a sudden we're told that Noach is late for one meal. He's late for one meal. Imagine a whole year and the person serving you is only late once. It's not such a bad thing. But what are we told? The lion eats and bites Noach. And Noach is punished. And the lion bites him. So the question is a very simple question. Why? Why was Noah punished for being late for one meal? So the answer given is very simple. That was the last lion. And when it comes to the last lion, we have an obligation to treat it with the highest levels of concern, care, compassion, chesed, goodness that we can reach. We can't settle for an A. We can't settle for very good. We have an obligation to treat the last lion with the highest levels that we can treat. Because if the last lion doesn't survive, then there's no more lions. And the history of the lions ends. My friends, I have the great skus of traveling around this country, building communities. I'm afraid to tell you that there are millions of our brothers and sisters who are last lions. That if they're not saved, that's the end. They have fallen prey to the disease of assimilation and intermarriage. They once stood with their backs to society, but some slowly and some very fast, they turned completely around. And put their backs to Har Sinai and started to face society and fell in love with it. And those brothers and sisters of ours are being lost. Not just a few. But when I say the word millions, I mean it. And it should bring tears to all of our eyes. So what do we do? What do we do? We're sitting here in Muncie. What are we supposed to do? So let me tell you a story of somebody who did something, which maybe is a lesson for all of us. I see my dear friend Rabbi Schuster is here. Rabbi Schuster was my assistant rabbi in Staten Island for 11 years. About 29 years ago, I started a shul. Nobody was Shomer Shabbos in my neighborhood, not one Shomer Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, as the years, because of people like Rabbi Schuster, we've had close to 100 families that have turned their lives around. Thousands of people have come through the shul. Baruch Hashem. Early on, there were two young boys that came into the shul. And they started to eat in my house, and they probably ate there for 20 years. And Baruch Hashem, their mother became food. They were from a divorced home. And the father, he hated Yiddish. He was the most partisan person you ever met. You never saw him smile. Whatever he can do to hurt the boys in their growth in Yiddishkeit, he would do. But Baruch Hashem, they fought. And they won. And they both went to yeshiva. And they both went there to Israel to learn. And they both married from a girls and are raising from a children. In fact, one of them lives not far from here. Comes the younger one. The younger one went to RJJ, then he went to Silver Spring, and then he went there to Israel. And when he came back from Eretz Israel, he went to Chaim Berlin's Beis Midrash. And he became a chassid. He comes to the wedding.
And the father shows up at the wedding with that bitter face, that face that never smiles. He walks in, and I'm standing there saying, oh, here he is again. He hated me because I guess I represented what his children had changed their lives to. And then your Shiva walks in. Rabban Chakri comes walking in. And he knew the whole story. And he says to me, I want to speak to the Hassan's father privately. I said, what? He goes, you heard me. I said, okay. And I arrange it. And they go into this room alone, the two of them. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. What's going on in there? And finally they walk out. And for the first time ever, I don't want to get too mad and say he was smiling. But that bitter face wasn't as bitter as it had been for the last 10, 20 years. And I'm dying to know what happened in that room. So finally I let the Rashiva alone for a minute. Rebbe, what happened in that room? What do you mean nothing happened? The man's son is getting married. He is totally unfamiliar with what is about to happen here. So I sat down with him and explained to him what happens at a wedding, at a firm wedding. So he shouldn't feel totally estranged from it. He should feel a part of it. It was so nuts that I look at the first dance. There's the chassan, the reshiva, and the father, and dancing all together. It got so bad that by the end of the night, I danced with the father. It was unbelievable. And I want to tell you something. The father was never as bitter again. About 2 years ago, the father died. He passed away. In fact, he's buried somewhere around here. And I went to the Levi. And the boys see me and they say, Rabbi, the truth is you should speak because you're the only one that knows it. But we're afraid what you're going to say. So I said, don't worry. I'll say the right thing. And I told over this story. And I asked the father for one very simple reason. That I never understood that the thing I should do is sit down and talk to him. And explain to him what his children were doing. Explain the beauty of Shabbos. Explain the beauty of Kashrus. Explain the beauty of Kibbutz Avei. I never did. I was their rabbi for 20 years. Yeshiva was his rebbe for 5 minutes. And he had an influence on it. And what did he do? Something, he didn't say a mimer that nobody would understand. He didn't say the greatest shir. He didn't do a maisa tzidkis that everybody would say, oh, the Rashiva. He sat down and he spoke to a yid. You know what he did? He learned with him. He learned Torah. The Torah was Aleph Beis. What happens at a chuppah? What happens when she walks around? What happens when they break the glass? That they go into yichud? That they dance? Aleph Beis. Things that all of us know, but he didn't know it. He didn't know it. He hated it. Until the Rashiva did what we could all do. Sit down and learn Aleph Beis with a brother and sister who's destined to become a last line. That's what your Rashiva did. And I want to tell you why it's so important. Because we live in such a crazy society of no values, of no morals, of no standards, that every year, unfortunately, we could say has the possibility of becoming a last line. From the young to the old. That's how dangerous this society is. And what's the only thing that protects us? The sitting that I'm learning. And I was once in yeshiva. So I saw the yeshiva. So I start telling him maybe all the unbelievable pure things that are happening across the country. Here, Missoula, Montana, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, Ramichel Guzik, who is today the Scandinav in Berlin. Remember, Buzik happens to walk by, and we were roommates for many years, so he sees me, so he walks up the steps, says Shalom Aleichem, and goes back in. And the Rashiba looks at me and he says, just remember one thing. What he does in there determines what you do out there. And that, my friends, is the most important thing that you have to remember when you think, should I go learn tonight or shouldn't I go learn tonight? Should I learn an hour or an hour and 5 minutes? What you do here determines everything that happens to the last lions out there. You can't imagine. That extra tisis that you learn changes a person's life in Eugene, Oregon. That extra hour that you put in the week where you don't have the time, you don't have the strength. You may not even have the desire, but you do it. It changes the life of somebody in Missoula, Montana. And trust me when I tell you I've seen it. And with all the great stories, it all comes from you who sit in front of the safe. You have a greater effect on your brothers and sisters, the last line, than any cure of person in the world. And you should never forget. Because it's Tyra that changes everything. It's Tyra that turns them back from society to face the Kedusha of Har Sinai. I want to tell you something, if I may. It's not easy. It's really not easy. When Warburger said it about one of you said it, the pressures to face, you're not even sure. You have so much on your mind between work and kids and family and things that you're involved in. But I want to tell you a story about the Kloisenberger Rebbe. The Kloisenberger Rebbe lost his wife and 11 kids during the war. He was such a special man. I recently took a senator to him. United States Senator there to show. Somebody spoke, after one of my sons spoke, and told the story about Kloisenberger Rebbe with General Eisenhower, who later became President of the United States. And Eisenhower said to the Kloisenberger, whatever you want, I will give you. He could have asked for a change of clothing that he had worn for 4 years. He could have asked for a bath. Decent meal. Fly me to Eretz Yisrael. You know, Kloisenberger told Eisenhower through Lieutenant Birnbaum, who was the chancellor. He said in four, this was on Yom Kippur when Eisenhower visited the DP camp. He said, General, please somehow find a lulav and esrog so we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly on Sukkos. And Eisenhower sent the military plane to Rome. And brought back the love of Israel for the Yidden in the DP camp. And finally, Kloisenberger finds his way to America. And Reb Shraga Feivel Mendelovich brings him to one of the great Askanim of the generation, Sam Furstein. And imagine, Kloisenberger's in his 40s. He looked 70. A beaten, battered, old-looking Yid who had been shot. Went through what none of us could even imagine. And he says to Furiously, I want to build the yeshiva, I want to build the Beis Yaakov, I want to build the hospital, an orphanage, I want to do Bikur Kol, I want to do this, I want to do this. And he gives him a long list. And by the way, he did every one of those things he said he wanted to do. Imagine Furiously. He's looking at this Jew, thinking to himself, he's lucky to be alive. He wants to produce this. So he says to the Kloisenberger, Rabbi, I will do the best that I can to help you. And when he's about to leave, the Kloisenberger says, I want to tell you one thing. Before the war, I was a very chashuv person. I was the Rov. I didn't know if I can carry my talis and tefillin two blocks. I was the Rov. They wouldn't let me. I didn't know if I could walk four blocks to a bris or something. I was the Rov. They wouldn't let me. But then the war broke out. And I found out not only could I carry my talis and tefillin two blocks, but I can carry well over 50 pounds of cement. And not just four blocks, but well over 4 miles. He says, Rav Feuerstein, I am not sure you have yet experienced what it means to do the best that you can. And that's what I have to say. This room is very special. It's a room filled with Kedusha, a room filled with Mesiras Nefesh, a room that is saving Yidden across the world. But I dare ask, can any of us stand up and say that we have truly done the best that we can do? Can we go one more shiur, or maybe even five more minutes with the Chavrusa? Can we come one more night a week? Or maybe just stay another half hour the nights that we come? Have we really done the best that we can? We have to understand. There are not many of us. The last lions dominate Klal Yisrael. You're sitting in front of the Sefer. You're a Pasuk Chumash. You're a Tyson. You're of Kiveyu. Changes the world. Saves the last line. Allows there to be a further history. Allows there to be darkness of Klal Yisrael. Because of you opening up the safe. Have we yet experienced what it means to do the best that we can? I want to end with one story. I have a tendency to go to Eretz Yisrael when things are not going so well. Gulf Wars, Intifadas, whatever I like to go with. So many, many years ago, during one of the Intifadas, I went. And I'm in the Plaza, now it's something else. And there was like 10 people in the hotel for Shabbos. And I usually go to the Kaisel Shabbos morning. I dive into seeking, usually in the Kaisel Shabbos morning, in Eretz Yisrael. So I decide that's where I'm going. I call my mother to say, you know, good Shabbos. My mother, she wouldn't be well. She says to me, you know, you don't plan on walking through the shuk. For you, you should walk around. I said, Ma, I was born and raised in Newark. I'm going straight through. My wife, you know, she's a little more politically correct. She tells me not to do it in a nicer way. I'm going through the shuk. Comes in the morning, 5 in the morning, I don't remember. No one's on the streets. I get to Shayafa, I get to the steps of the shuk, and I start to get nervous. It's so quiet, and I'm saying to myself, you know what? I can walk around and tell everybody I went through anyway. When all of a sudden, where? Somebody smacks me on my back. And I turn around, and there he is. This short, old, snidey Jew who knew exactly what I was thinking. And he yells out, Al Tifachei! Al Tifachei! And he takes off into the shul. And I say, I'm following that man. I couldn't keep up with him. He's flying in the shul. And as he fades into an early morning dawn of Yerushalayim Shabbos, all I hear bouncing off the walls of the shuk are Al Tifachei, Al Tifachei, Al Tifachei. And that's what I tell you. Don't be afraid to sleep a little less. Don't be afraid to learn a little more. Don't be afraid to make a commitment which you have no idea if you can live up to or not. Because because even if you live up to some of it, it's more than you would have done. Don't be afraid to do it for your brothers and sisters that are across this land, that are unfortunately being lost. Don't be afraid to save the last lives. Just remember, what happens here at your night seder, in your kollel, will determine what happens out there. And Kadosh Baruch Hu give you the courage and the strength that you need to not only come in for yourself and for your mishpacha, but to come into this kollel stronger, with more desire, with a deeper desire to accomplish more in learning, so that because of you, your brothers and sisters will turn back around from the tumult of our society and face the Kedusha of our Sinai. Amen.